Joe, it's Mike Clemens from NFL Radio. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. So tell us about the decision to step away from football, and how much are you missing so far, pal?
I guess now it's really just been made official. I mean, I've had an official for many months, I guess, in my mind. I had a little stint with the Falcons earlier this season for three games, and I wasn't really planning on even pursuing anything else to go try to play it all this year, but they called and had an opportunity, and actually had a great time down there and learned a lot from those guys. But I thought it's definitely time to step down and to make it official, just because I feel like there's no use in chasing to try to play for any other teams now. I mean, physically and mentally, I definitely feel like the time has come.
AJ, Mark Daniels at WNFL. Congrats.
Oh, thank you.
AJ, just when you arrived in Green Bay at number 5 overall, I know I've talked to you about this in the past, but, you know, dealing with that expectations, how you think you held up and met those expectations?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I've talked about even the last couple of months. I've done some radio on SiriusXM, and we've talked about it a lot. And yeah, I think everything is about, like, expectations, I guess, from the outside, looking in and from expectations from yourself, I think. I guess at the time when I was drafted, I wasn't really too aware of, how big of a commitment a team makes to take you at number 5 overall. But there's obviously a million plays you'd love to have back, a lot of plays you'd like to have. There's definitely a couple more Super Bowl rings that I feel like we could have had when I was there. So you never fully live up to any expectations that anyone places on you or that you had on yourself, I feel like. But overall, I mean, spent 9 years there in Green Bay. It's absolute blessing. I'm super fortunate. And I think even being away from it, I realize that even more now when I step back and kind of look at everything that happened in my 9 years there. And then I got to go play a season for my hometown team, the Cincinnati Bengals. I feel just thankful, grateful of how it all kind of played out, and happy to get at least one Super Bowl ring. And more importantly, even though it's cliche and boring to talk about, like, the people there are amazing. I mean, everyone will tell you that, but I mean, I got to live it for 9 years, and I saw that even after I left, how much I've been in contact with tons of the support staff there, the trainers and coaches and players and front office guys and players as well. So the good thing is, I think you kind of have that. Green Bay is a unique place where you have that family type organization. So that kind of that lives on, and I still get to talk to those guys, and I'm still a huge fan of the team and watch all the games too.
Do you ever wonder, as great as 2010 was, and to win Super Bowl 45? But maybe there were some other years where you thought the roster was even better than the 2010 team?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I don't know as far as, like, going down the roster. I feel like we were poised for many years that we could have competed to win the Super Bowl. I mean, obviously the following year, we definitely kind of maybe let one slip away. We went 15-1 after the lockout. Everything seemed to be on track. And I don't think we weren't arrogant or anything about it. We still kept our same mindset as a team, but it definitely makes you realize how many things have to go right to win the Super Bowl. I mean, so many different plays throughout the year and throughout the playoffs that just went our way. And the old saying, the harder you work, the harder I work, the more luck I seem to have. And I feel like we always put the work in, but for whatever reason, we just after that run, we couldn't find a way to put it all together again in my time there. And you just realize how tough it is. And I guess it gives you a little bit, obviously, a ton of respect to teams like the Patriots that continue that run. But that window is still open in Green Bay. That's a good thing for all those guys there. As long as Aaron's there at the quarterback, that window will be open.
Hey, AJ, Wes Hodkowitz from Packers.com. Congratulations again. These last couple days, Mike, Ted, Aaron, Clay, they all were kind of asked about you and your career here. And almost to a man. They all mentioned the durability factor of it and dependability. When you look back on your career, specifically in Green Bay, how much pride did you take in that aspect of your game and being able to obviously stay on the field as much as you did?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a firm believer that being durable is a skill that you can create and you can kind of cultivate over time and do. Working day in and day out and being consistent. And that's something I preach to my kids now. Like, I think you don't have to sit there and talk about it every single day. As long as you show up and do your job and look at it, being durable is one of the things that I feel like was not an option. I wasn't ever going to take myself out of the lineup. I wasn't going to let little injuries keep me down, and I feel like so. I mean, that's just because I think anyone that's in the NFL wants to be a competitor and wants to be out there playing. So that's something I think you carry on all aspects of your life. But that's something I definitely take a lot of pride in. I think when I wasn't born with the crazy genetics that some people are, it's good. From a young age, I had to learn that you have to work for whatever you get, and that's kind of the mentality I always had.
AJ, Rob Domofsky, you mentioned Aaron and the window was always going to be open as long as he's there. You got so close to him. Why do you think he has been able to, you know, maintain his level of play, and why do you think he'll be able to do it, you know, into his late 30s and maybe even beyond?
Oh, man, first, I see you everywhere, Rob. You're all over the TV, man. You're doing good work.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
I've been paying attention. I see you all over the place, but... I mean, honestly, Aaron's a special guy. I mean, how he approaches the game, there's so many different things. He has the tangibles and the intangibles. But what he does, man, I sat next to him in team meetings for 9 straight years, got to know him very well. And, I mean, number one, all of those top elite quarterbacks are type A personalities. They're super competitors. You can hear all the stories about how they want to get in a fist fight on a golf course and things like that, like, over one shot. And man, that's how all these guys, all of the great ones, they are that way. Aaron is very unique in his own way of how he approaches it, but he has those underlying, those things that he holds himself and he holds himself accountable and everybody else. I think he does a great job of running the show there. And then Coach McCarthy really have a good thing going, but I don't see Aaron slowing down anytime soon. And I think this year was fun to watch. If you saw, I mean, I can't imagine you guys being there and dealing with it day in, day out of the whole doom and gloom of everyone wondering what's going on, what's going to happen. And then they make that big run and get the NFC Championship game. And it's just one of those things. I think whatever it is, whether it's happening with Aaron Allen, he has all the physical tools that he has the mental tools, too, and he has supreme confidence in himself and the coaches and in the players around him. It's so big as a quarterback, and you can have that confidence that you know you put in the work to get it done, and he's been to the top and he's won a ring. I mean, he's never going to lose that. I don't think he's ever going to lose that confidence and that swagger he has, and his work ethic will always be the same. And I think you can see how much he loves being on the football field and loves competing. So there's no reason, barring any crazy injury that would come up for him that he would ever slow down.
AJ, just to follow up on that too, because Aaron mentioned that yesterday as well about the 9 years you guys spent together, you know, in the room. What was that like? And are there any memories that kind of stand out to you as far as being able to share that space with them for that much time?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to pick one or two, but I would say when I got there as a rookie, I'd met Aaron right shortly after I got drafted and talked to my parents and everything, and we became close right away. So sitting next to him, and then Brett Favre was sitting right behind us in the team meeting. So that's kind of like you talk about being able to learn from a couple of the best. Obviously, I wasn't playing quarterback, but I got to see how they approached everything and how they take the game super, super serious, but they don't take themselves seriously. Everyone are in that facility, they still enjoy it, and that's why everyone plays football. Why you started playing football as a kid? And I have a 6- and 4-year-old playing flag football right now, and I feel like Aaron has that same type of mentality. He's there because it's fun, and that's what he wants to do. And I just remember all the fun times, of even in the craziest toughest workouts or toughest parts of the game, how he seems to really enjoy it and thrive on that atmosphere. And like I said, all the great ones, they have that. They really do. It's so hard to find. And look around the NFL, there's so many teams right now that are just, they're grabbing anything they can to try to find their franchise quarterback. And the truth is, they don't come around very often.
When you first got to Green Bay, I think I remember you telling me, I was asking, is there a player playing linebacker that you sort of want to try and follow or model? And I think you said Zach Thomas from the Dolphins, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and so I was looking it up. I think you actually surpassed him in career tackles. So how much did I hope to get your start?
You might want to check your stats. I don't think Zach was a stud for a long time. I don't know about that.
You might have. I'll double check it. But how do you think it did? How important was that in your first couple of years to adjusting the NFL? And did you ever get to talk to him, sit down and talk to him about how he played his game?
I didn't get to sit down and talk to him. We played him my rookie year. We went to Miami, and we won the game. And I got to see him right after the game. I made sure I went and found him. I mean, I stood and watched it as a fan when our offense was on the field. I watched Zach every single play, I remember, and just in awe of what he was able to do. And I've watched film on him for years. But talking to him after the game, I just let him know how big of a fan I was of his, how much respect I had for him. But then Bob Sanders was our defensive coordinator in my first 3 years there. And Bob coached Zach in Miami for a couple of years, and I would talk to Bob all the time about Zach's preparation, the crazy note-taking that Zach had, how his whole process was, how he watched film, what he did, and that's something as a young guy you need to learn. I was really prepared as much as I could be coming out of Ohio State in their big program and learning from some great guys there, but once you get there, you have to have a plan. You can't just go sit in the meeting room and turn the film on and watch it. It'll be like reading a book that your teacher makes you read. You read 50 pages and you have no idea what you just read. You need to have some kind of plan and actionable steps. And I learned a lot of that through a guy like Bob Sanders telling me how Zach used to break down film and how he used to approach the game and what he was doing in practice. And then also I learned a lot of that from the guys on the team at the same time. I always wanted to be always very curious and ask guys what they did and how they not only stayed in the league a long time, but what they were seeing and why they were making decisions that they did.
EJ, I know you're doing the Hawkcast now and everything, but what is the next step for you now? Is there anything that you have lined up, or where do you think this is going to take you?
I've been doing a decent amount of work with SiriusXM, co-hosting some NFL shows and college shows with them, and then actually called the Oregon State Stanford game last year up in the booth for Fox. So hopefully, there's nothing set in stone, but hopefully I'll be doing some college games next year up in the booth. Not sure exactly what network at the time, but hopefully you'd be doing that once the season rolls around. And then also definitely will stay doing radio, doing a little bit of local radio actually here in Columbus. I'm about to start doing some more of that. And also have just starting to dive into some of these some speaking gigs, not like a motivational speaker. I hate that term. I think that doesn't really... I don't know. I'm not trying to sit there and motivate people, but I do like to get up in front of people and speak. And that's basically what my dad has done for over 30 years in the business world. So I'm managing him and had a speaking gig tomorrow night here in Columbus for a big group of 600 people. And yeah, I'm going to jump into that even more. So it's kind of, it's been nice. My ultimate goal is to be up in the booth as a college analyst.
So, AJ, why are so many guys that our former players get into the media when you guys were awfully good at keeping us at arm's length throughout your playing days?
Well, it's not us keeping you at arm's length. I know Tom on this call. Tom and the PR guy didn't let you in. We were begging for you to come in. They would never let you.
You're pretty good at
hiding. I think it had to do with our days are so structured and so regimented that sometimes whenever the media availability was, that was the time when I would go and get my little extra workouts in and just work on the little things that I needed to stay on the field, honestly. I know it sounds like a cop-out, but it's really not. And I think my, as I got older, as I, well, I came into the NFL, believe me, I had absolutely no intentions of ever getting into anything with the media. And I think as the years went on, through 4, 5, 6 years in, I realized that I started to do a little bit more and do some stuff on my own. I started to enjoy it a lot, and I obviously have a ton of respect for what you guys do. And so I started to look at it a little differently, I think, as I got older. And that's just part of growing up a little bit, I guess. I've always been kind of weird about self-promotion. That's just not my thing. I know it seems like guys are a lot more comfortable with that now. But for me, yeah, I don't know. I just felt like during the season, it's tough. I know it's tough for you guys. You have deadlines. You need new courts. You need to talk to people. But our days were so structured and so little time in between meetings and workouts and stuff. That might be the only reason why you didn't see me in open locker room as much.
By the way, you did. Zach Thomas did have a few more tackles than you. I looked that up.
Believe me, that's pretty good.
You left Green Bay with the career leading the franchise in career tackles, and besides, you know, being so reliable, 142 games. Talk about your role with that defense, and then alongside your teammate Clay Matthews, who's a pretty outstanding linebacker as well. What was it like playing alongside Clay?
Oh, of course. I mean, amazing playing alongside Clay, and I know even after I left, he's played more inside and stepped inside a little bit, and I hear there's rumor to maybe do a little bit more of that this year. I don't know. Who knows if that's true, but I mean, obviously, a super elite player that rushes the passer and just can be so disruptive, so it was fun. Clay's a fun guy to be on the field with. He has a good time with it, and he can just, there's outside rushers. I mean, that's why you pay so much money to the outside rushers and to the offensive tackles. I mean, you got to protect your quarterback. And when you can put pressure on a quarterback, you can change the game. One guy can literally change the game. And Clay has done that for many years now. And I think it's fun to watch. And it was definitely fun to be on the field with him for all those years. So, like I said, I'm just a fan now, watching from afar.